KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. After a year of meetings, the legislature's Arctic Policy Commission is rolling out its strategy for the region. The draft report is more than 100 pages, and it offers recommendations on how to manage maritime commerce and resource development in the Arctic, how to improve emergency response, and how to include the state's indigenous population in policy decisions. Representative Bob Herron, a Bethel Democrat who co-chaired the commission, says having an Arctic thought process puts the state on better footing with the federal government when it comes to having a say in policy for the region.
We want to be in the center of all those decisions.
The Arctic Policy Commission's work may have a more immediate influence on the state's own policy. The report identified the lack of infrastructure as a key problem for the region, and Herron and his fellow co-chair, Senator Liesl McGuire, each introduced legislation to address that last week. One bill would create a port authority for the Arctic, while the other would authorize the state to issue loans for projects like roads and harbors. McGuire acknowledges that Arctic development will be expensive and difficult to afford, given that the state is looking at a budget shortfall. Still, she sees it as a necessary investment.
I think we're going to have to start looking at it right now. We're already behind.
The Obama administration offered its own strategy for the Arctic region last week. Native American organizations are asking the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate the treatment of American Indian and Alaskan Native children in the private adoption and public child welfare systems. Tribal leaders delivered a letter Monday to DOJ Attorney General for Civil Rights Jocelyn Samuels demanding the investigation. The request follows a recent custody battle over a Cherokee girl known as Baby Veronica. Who eventually was adopted by a white South Carolina couple. It also comes after lawsuits alleging violations of federal law governing foster care and adoption in some states. The long-awaited YK Delta Regional Committee kicks off this week in Bethel. Since its early roots in the 1980s, the committee has gone from a dream to a reality. More than 60 entities representing 40-plus communities will meet at the Cultural Center in Bethel to take a hard look at the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, an attempt to address the social and economic upheaval that's ensued in the 40 years since passage. Andrew Guy is president of Calista.
That protest fishery really showed it to us, the power of all the villages when they act together. It was an event that made the state of Alaska and the federal government sit up and take notice of how a concerted effort by the residents of all these villages, what they could do, basically. It made the powers that be take notice of them.
The idea of unity runs through the planning for the meeting. The three-day session includes presentations on Indigenous sovereignty and what tribes in the lower 48 have done to address their rights. The bulk of the agenda, however, is discussions. They cover everything from land and food management to tribal governments and whether now is the time for change. Robert Beans is originally from Mountain Village. He sits on the Calista Board of Directors and is a member of the committee. He says success relies on the collective knowledge of the region.
Our people are very intelligent. They may not have a piece of paper on a wall, but they're very intelligent. They know what the living conditions are out there.
Participants will connect their knowledge of the region with some of the landmark legislation that determines life in modern-day Alaska. One of the first discussions is titled, Are the People of the YK Delta Region Better Off Than They Were 40 Years Ago Before ANCSA? That monumental piece of legislation has changed the landscape of Alaska forever. President Guy says the law needs a close examination.
If you look at it now from the time of ANCSA, I don't think we've really moved far from the base that we had back then. We have so much more to do in terms of adding jobs per family, basic intent of ANCSA, meeting the basic intent. And this is a way that we can garner the strength of all the village corporations and tribal organizations, make them stronger.
If things go well, the next step for the committee involves electing a small steering committee to come up with a strategic plan. That process could take a year. The regional committee kicks off Tuesday evening in Bethel. And what a month it was, for weather and temperature at least. While it felt extremely warm for much of the first month of 2014, the National Weather Service says there have been four other Januaries that have been warmer in Nome. With the average temperature of 21.3 degrees last month, the month ranks fifth behind the January of 1985, when the average temperature was 24.4 degrees. That was the year the San Francisco 49ers won the Super Bowl with Joe Montana. Jerry Steiger with the National Weather Service in Nome says there were four cold days in January that brought down the average temperature last month.
Well, we had the minus temperatures there for kind of the middle of the month there. But other than that, I mean, obviously, yes, it was very warm. And what the big thing is, of course, it was the warmest day ever.
And that day was January 27th, when the mercury hit 51 degrees. Steiger says that is now the all-time winter temperature record high for the months of December, January, and February. That high obliterates the previous high of 40 degrees set in 1963. And a bizarre twist is at the same date, January 27th, holds the all-time record low temperature for the month of January at 54 below. So, why the warmth last month?
We had a large blocking high pressure across all of the western United States, and that's what caused their area down there to be kind of in drought, not have any weather. And so then that just pushed all the weather systems up into to Alaska.
And the records didn't just end with temperatures. Remember the high winds mid-month. The National Weather Service reports that the 63-mile-per-hour winds on the 17th made for the highest recorded winds for the month of January. This past January was the windiest on record, with the average wind speed at 12.8 miles per hour. That beats out the average wind speed for the year 2011 at 12.4 miles per hour. A student-built satellite from the University of Alaska Fairbanks has been selected to be among satellites to be launched into outer space this year by NASA. The satellites will be launched November 19th. The UAF satellite was chosen along with others in the first round of decisions by NASA in July 2010 through the agency's CubeSat program. The UAF entry is described as the Alaska Research CubeSat. Satellites in the competition are designed to weigh about 3 pounds and be fashioned in the shape of cubes. Brent Sass is holding on to the lead in the Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race. The musher reached the Eagle checkpoint at 3:55 this morning. According to the live tracker on the website of the 1,000-mile race, defending champion Alan Moore arrived at Eagle slightly more than 2 hours later. 15 mushers remain in the race that began Saturday in Fairbanks. The race will end near Whitehorse, Yukon territory. Ali Zirkle won the Yukon Quest 300 yesterday. The price of gold in New York is down $5.80 an ounce to $1,252.30. An ounce of silver up 10 cents to $19.54. It's unofficially 27 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.